Good morning. My name is Dawn Shawnee, and I am a board member of the Steps of Hope in Santa Maria de Jesus, Guatemala. And I've been serving down there for 4 years, and each time it gets just a little bit better. Why do I serve in a third world country? Because that's where God has placed me and told me to go. To help the lost, to help serve the needy, to provide love of Jesus Christ. So I thank you for the opportunity that you've given us today to have a presentation here at Glenmore. And without further ado, I would like to present to you Jesselyn Waddell, the founder and director of Steps of Hope, Santa Maria de Jesus, Guatemala.
This morning with all of you. Thank you for this opportunity. I grew up in Catonsville, close to here, and graduated from Towson University. God put on my heart early on when I was about 13 missions. So as soon as I graduated, I started serving in various Latin American countries as a missionary. I ended up in Guatemala about 10 years ago and stayed there. And God put on my heart to open up Steps of Hope Center about 6 years ago. So in 2015, we opened our doors in Santa Maria de Jesus. Let me tell you a little bit about the community of Santa Maria de Jesus, where you can see some of the photos that we'll put up there. Santa Maria is a very third world community in a third world country. Just what you would imagine a third world country would look like is Santa Maria. A lot of very desperately poor families, people. It's the community in the department that has the highest illiteracy rate, lack of education. So it's an extremely poor and uneducated community. Most of the people in the community work in the fields, are farmers. They earn around $5 a day, and that is what the majority of them do. At the Steps of Hope Center, we have a tutoring program. So we work with a lot of children who aren't able to go to public school. They aren't able to study because they have to go to the fields to work, or their families don't have the money to support them to buy them the school supplies that they need to go to public school. So we provide for them classes where they learn basic Spanish, learning to read and write, learning basic math. And we also work with a lot of children that just need that extra help in their public school classes as well. We also provide a free time for them where they can play on the playground, they can play at the our library center and in our play center. So they spend some time there also with other students, getting social interaction, just being in a safe, loving environment. We also began our Christian education classes as well with them so that they can really start to learn about the Bible and grow in their faith and grow in their knowledge of the love of God. We provide a meal for our students at every time that they come to classes. They start off with a meal so that they can go to classes and have something in their stomachs. A lot of these children might only eat once or two times a day, so this is a very important program for us. We do school sponsorships. Public education there is free, but a lot of families don't have the opportunity to buy them the school supplies that they need or uniforms or things like shoes. So we sponsor them by individuals from different churches in the area and church groups to get them the school supplies that they need and the uniforms they need to be successful in public school classes. We do a lot of medical outreach in the community. For example, eye exams. We're able to get the children the eye exams that they need so that if they need glasses, this really helps them in their education as well to be successful. We host dental clinics as well with other organizations, and we take children to dental clinics so that they can get the dental care that they need. We're also able to do things like provide transportation to children who need medical attention from hospitals. We have one student right now who is getting chemotherapy. He's 5 years old and has leukemia, and we're able to provide him what he needs to get to his treatment. All of our staff is Guatemalan. We have 7 staff members that God has just placed in our path, and it's just been a wonderful team to have put together. But we're able to provide full-time employees for 7 Guatemalan women, which is a really wonderful thing to be able to do. We host mission teams and volunteers that go down a few times throughout the years. They do things like put in cement floors in homes. A lot of these homes don't have any kind of flooring. It's mostly just dirt, so they can put in cement floors. They also put in things like bunk beds. A lot of these families live in very close quarters, so they don't have enough room for a bunch of, you know, beds. A lot of people sleep on the floor, or they just share beds. So in putting in bunk beds, this provides them an appropriate place to be able to sleep and get the rest that they need. We are really excited about our future plans. Right now, the building that we are in, we rent from a person that just has provided us with this space, but we really need a larger space. We started off with about 30 kids and have around 175 students in the program now. So our future plans are to buy a piece of property and construct a larger space to be able to provide services to the community. We announced this goal a few months ago, the beginning campaign to be able to raise the funds for just the piece of property, and we were amazed that God moved, and within a few months we surpassed our goal. So we're still fundraising to do the construction side of the building, but we're just so excited, and that's just been confirmation that God really is at work there. How can you help? We are completely run by donations from individuals and churches in Maryland, in other states, 100% funded by the generosity from faithful givers and believers just like all of you. It's been amazing to see what God has been able to do through churches, through people. So outside, we do have set up envelopes if you want to donate, if you want more information about Steps of Hope and how you can be involved. Any amount really, really counts. Mission teams or individuals that want to go down there to work alongside with us, you are welcome to come. The question is why? Why do we do what we do? 1 Corinthians speaks of love, that without it, we're just noisy instruments, that even if we give all that we have to the poor, what we don't have love, it means nothing. The end of that scripture says, these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Love gets the attention, but faith and hope are important as they are love in action. That is exactly what we're trying to do at Steps of Hope, is give these children just a hope and a future. Because of that love that we have for Jesus Christ, it will shine down to these children at Steps of Hope as well. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. So I was asked to share with the congregation why I do my ministry, and in particular, children's ministry here at Glenmar. I was a bit surprised to be asked because there's many people who have done a lot more for a lot longer than I have in children's ministry, so I feel a little unworthy to be sharing my story. And I told that to Pastor Herock, but against my objection, he said he would like me to share my story and that I would bring a different perspective, which I translated as pastor speak, for nobody else wanted to do it. But here I am, and I'm going to do my best. So for those of you I haven't had the pleasure of meeting, my name is Joe Pulver. I've been with Glenmar for about 10 years now. For many years before Glenmar, I did not regularly attend church, any particular church, and my ministry was serving one-off opportunities for volunteering and on nonprofit boards and things like that. But since I found Glenmar and rejoined a faith community, I started slowly dipping my toes into volunteering in the church, and things like Walk to Bethlehem, serving refreshments in between services when that was still a thing. But a few years ago, I made a decision to get involved in ministries focused on helping to develop our young our youth and to faithful disciples of Christ. Some things I've done since then is I've very recently started doing Sunday school, volunteering at Sunday school. VBS, a games leader, helped run games with the campers there to kind of, you know, have fun, but also give a faith-based message to them. And then I've been a friend in faith, and I'm lucky enough to be a friend in faith again this year to young people who are making that journey and stepping into the church, taking that next step. And so that's the youth ministry that I'm involved in, but the question is why I do children's ministry. And I've come up with three things. One, because it's important work. Two, because it is inspiring and faith-building in me. And three, because it's different. And I'll start with why it's so important. Youth ministry is an opportunity to mold young hearts and minds at a time when the world is telling them something very different from the message that Jesus has of love, of selflessness, and acceptance. We're doing the Max Lucado study in my men's group right now, and we were very recently talking about pride and sin, and it occurred to the group that things like achievement and success and hard work that are so valued in our society walk a real fine line with things like pride and greed. And I'm not knocking hard work and achievement, but it's really easy to lose sight of how we're able to succeed and what we should do with that success if we don't stay focused on Jesus' message. And kids are constantly being told something different by the world, things that we as adults kind of take for granted sometimes. And so I think it's just really important at this time in kids' life to instill Jesus' message in them, both by teaching them and by showing them through our acts. And one of those things is volunteering and serving in the community and serving in the church. So the second reason why I do my ministry is because it's inspiring. Working with kids helps to renew Jesus' message in me and my understanding of what Jesus' message is. Having to break down Bible stories about love and faith to a child can be very difficult. And then sometimes you realize that it's really not that difficult for the kids at all. It's difficult for you because you things like love and generosity and acceptance kind of come naturally to kids, but after being in the adult world for so long, you get ready to tell kids something and you go, you know, I feel kind of like a hypocrite saying this to you right now because I need to change in my heart. And so it helps me to be a better Christian. And it also inspires me to talk with God and to pray mainly for patience and understanding, because as pure-hearted as kids are, they can be very difficult. And so I find myself praying to God a lot for patience. And so the last thing to me is that it's different, and this doesn't apply to everybody, but I work in an office from 9 to 5. I don't work with kids. Sometimes we use the gifts that we have through education or experience because we can do a lot of good with them. But sometimes you just want to do something different. And I love being with kids. I love spending time with them, and it's just different from what I get to do. And so I really enjoy it. And plus, it probably gives a break to teachers who are with kids all day, who people naturally think, oh, yeah, why don't you go teach Sunday school? But I can't imagine that that's the first thing on their mind, how to volunteer on a Sunday. So that's kind of it. That's why I serve in ministry and children's ministry at Glenmar. And thank you all for taking the time to listen to my story.
Thanks, Joe. My name is Rob Boyle, proud papa to that guy sitting over there. During the years that my wife Meryl and I have been part of Glenmar, I've got to confess, Lord, I've been all over the map. I've really enjoyed working on drama for our worship here. everything from the apostles Peter and Judas for Good Friday to Superman for the family service at Christmas. I really enjoyed the walk to Bethlehem in the roles of Simeon and Isaiah, and especially as the builder of the marketplace. For what it's worth, I really enjoyed singing every once in a while. Whether it was Mr. Rogers, or the seven last words of Christ, or the Simeon scene for Bethlehem. I really enjoyed being a youth counselor for 20 years. I've really enjoyed going to Hurley as long ago as 2001. I was an MC for the Andy Palooza in 2010. I've been on parts of mission trips to the Bahamas and Haiti and Tarbor on Crisfield. I've been on a few committees too, but Lord, I feel a little guilty. I've really enjoyed the things I've been called for. I guess you could call all of this my ministry, and it's been some kind of service to the congregation, sometimes to the outside world. And here's why I've served, why I'm a part of these ministries. It's because I've been called. And let me tell you what that's looked like. It was Margaret Lang calling to ask if I could do this little Simeon thing. It was Sophie putting out a call for a Good Friday cantata. It was D.C. Veal asking if adults would be willing to go along on a youth mission trip. It was Jen Rowell asking for adults to be friends in faith. It was Dale Bucks asking, Rob, when are we going to go to Haiti? It was me as a kid hearing about a crew repairing a roof and wanting to grow up to be one of those people up on a roof. I don't think I'm someone who came to this congregation with some kind of special gifts, except maybe a gift for hearing a call. Yeah, I've said no to a few calls, but I don't wait for a call from God to come on a fancy telephone with a special ringtone. It sounds very much like the person next to you asking for help on a funeral, or sounds like your kid's teacher asking for help in a classroom, or sounds like your wife saying they need some hands in the bell choir. It sounds like a bulletin unfolding to the back page. It sounds like Mandy's voice in her pastor's ponderings. And it sounds beautiful, like God calling you into his family. So I think each of us as a member of the body of Christ has a great responsibility to listen for our next call. Not to hang up the phone and say, well, that was an interesting call, but to hang up the phone and say, I think that was a call from God. And I think the leadership of the body of Christ, all of us who are leaders in this body of Christ, we all have a great responsibility to make those calls. Our request for help or for participation or for ideas or for a message on a Sunday morning is someone else's call from God. We have to make those calls. And let me take a minute to say that I got to know Paul Behrens as he was dipping his toes into a ministry of service on his first trip to Hurley in 2003. He was working up the holler from Ellen and I, and he came down to consult on some problem he was having with the door, I think, and he just wanted another set of eyeballs. He wasn't confident that he had the right skill set for the job, but that's not the way a call usually works. God's not looking for confidence. He's looking for willingness. Paul was willing and eventually made Hurley a second home and probably built more wheelchair ramps and decks than most of us have ever seen. I pray that we can all answer a call like Paul. Thank you for the call.
Our scripture reading today might sound a little bit familiar and comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in tongues of mortals and angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends,
But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now, we see in a mirror, dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love.